Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Okay, thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of Global from Asia. We're at episode 18, and I'm currently in Portland, Oregon, visiting some of my advisors for a social Asia startup, and I'm heading up to Seattle in the morning. It's going to be a month-long trip, and we're very excited. It's been a couple of years since I've been back to America, and I'm kind of going through some reverse culture shock, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, quality and price and other things, which brings me some sad news. I got a desperate email from a blog reader last week, said she had bought two iPhones online for $300 from the Chinese factory of Apple, and she still hasn't received them, and she found my blog post talking about Apple iPhones and the factory. So she's asking me for any help I could offer. I asked her to send me the receipt, so she paid Western Union, and the website she found was Apple's Factories with a YS.com, and Western Union was to a Chinese name in Shenzhen, China, and unfortunately, you know, I think people know the risks of Western Union. You can't really get a refund, and you know, the customer service there wasn't very helpful, and it wasn't a tracking number, and I don't think she's going to get anything. Really sad news, but everybody, you know, I think people should realize that, you know, Apple, you can't buy direct from the factory if you want the name brand. That's a lot of times why things are cheaper in America than in China for the quality name brand stuff. So just a little bit of update of some stuff that I get in my regular emails. Okay, and now into main topic today, we have Kevin Shi. He's the founder of SC Storage, the biggest mini storage company in Hong Kong, and he gave us some great insights on local marketing in this densely populated region and how to combine billboard and TV advertising with internet marketing. So I hope you guys enjoy. Let's jump right in. And we're up here with Kevin Shi from SC Storage and his headquarter office in Kowloon Bay. So thanks for being with us today, Kevin.
Nice to meet you today, Michael.
Okay, if you could just start off maybe introducing yourself and your business to our listeners.
My name is Kevin. I'm one of the founder of SC Storage. We're the biggest mini storage, self-storage company in Hong Kong. We have 43 locations in Hong Kong and Macau, and we've been doing this since 2002.
Great. And we have one of your business partners in the room.
His name is Matthew.
Matthew. And maybe, I think some of our listeners like, he's a Westerner here.
But he can speak Chinese.
And he speaks great Chinese.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce, say yours?
Cantonese or English?
English.
My name is Matthew Chun. I'm one of the founding partners with Kevin of SC Storage, which actually he founded at first in 2002, and I followed soon after. So I've been here since the company's inception, basically.
And the spokesperson. Yeah, we see a lot of the commercials around town. So actually, that's one of the topics I'd like to discuss is your local marketing and advertising strategies. We've talked privately about that, and we can talk. So, you know, we see your advertising a lot in buses and subways. So is that one of your main strategies or?
My product is a broad-based product. That means everybody has potential to use it. That's why one of our main strategy is the lowest cost per eyeball. We don't need to really target people that much as compared to other services and products. And since Hong Kong is such a dense location, so mass media works. Contrary to other countries like the US or something where the population is very sparse out, Hong Kong is very, very dense. Mass media works, especially for industries like ours. So as a result, we do a lot of TV marketing, bus marketing, billboard marketing, but we also do a lot of internet marketing such as Google or Yahoo, because when the customer finally decides to rent from you, they will search you. That is the last leg where they would find you. So it's a complementary advertising strategy. You create brand awareness via mass marketing, and you are there in the search marketing when they finally search for you.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I have no experience at all in local marketing. And also in Hong Kong, you know, we're talking about Chinese and English, and it's definitely very international city. So would you say focusing on the Chinese market or English? Or
we do primarily local, like Chinese market, because that's the majority market. We do have expat customers. They represent close to 8-10% of our customer base. But we do a lot of mostly local marketing. Of course, Google or Yahoo-wise, we can do more specific because it's pay per search or pay per click. So we can do some English media marketing there. But mostly it's for local. And for our industry, you have to, in order to be big, you got to serve the local market as well.
And so that would be more local Cantonese.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And also, so they're also Facebook users. Yep. And, yeah, cause I think Hong Kong is special place because the internet could, sometimes people are on Weibo or Chinese social media, but I think primarily they're using Western social media platforms. And then would you use the same Facebook page in English and Cantonese or do you have?
Usually our Facebook post or something is mostly in Chinese, sometimes in English as well. People do post comments and feedbacks on our Facebook page, and we try to sync it, our Facebook campaign, with our main campaign. Just like whatever going on, whatever new market service or products we have that we broadcast in TV or minibus, we also put it in a website and in Facebook. So everything is in sync.
And how, I don't know, maybe you have the answer or not, but how do you measure the ROI of like local marketing efforts or campaigns?
See, this is kind of tricky because we used to ask people when they come in to move in the storage and where they see us, or sometimes when they call in our call center where they see us. And most people would say the internet. But that's tricky because that's the last link. That's when they finally search you. We do a testing. So if we don't put TV advertising or bus advertising, less people will search you. So pretty given in fact. So what we do is we ask the people, oh, have you seen us on TV? Oh, have you seen us on minibus? And we have a minimum benchmark. Just say, I don't know, maybe 20 people per week. As long as we reach that, then we're okay with that return as an awareness benchmark. If we don't, then we try to fix it around. We try to do different type of advertising on that benchmark as well. But you got to keep in mind that the last link where people search you is usually via the internet.
Okay, great. And so you have many, many locations. I think you're 43 locations, and definitely the number one storage, self-storage here. And then maybe you can just give some people the story of how it started.
12 years ago, I was unemployed. And then my family has a factory in Yao Tong, which is east of Kun Tong, and then it was going bankrupt. So, of course, we try to do some rooms. We kind of try to cut some small rooms, and then we were renting. At that time, we were just trying to make it as a part-time income. So we just, you know, make some room, make 10 rooms, and then rent it out. And I was looking for a job. But then it was like, given like 9 months, 10 months, I rented like 60, 70 rooms. I still couldn't look for a job. And I searched on the internet. This is like, this industry is called mini storage, and it's a big business in the US. And then that's when I started full time to do this business. And our turning point was near SARS, when we were able to get a very cheap location, good location, this one, our headquarter. And then we were able to rent it out for a good price. So that's when we get our huge infusion of cash flow. And we start buying properties and renting property aggressively. And that's how we started. We tend to be very aggressive in this business. Yes, and that's also contribution to the success of this business. If we weren't so aggressive, then maybe we wouldn't have so many sites.
That's definitely interesting to be aggressive. And then I guess how you expanded and researched different regions, how maybe you make those decisions.
We have a formula, like demographics of the location, like how many households there are, the age of the household. Usually in storage, if the household is too new, then they wouldn't be interested because they wouldn't have any junk to store. Is it next to the MTR? Is the premise visible for signage? Is it next to a highway for signage or things like that, et cetera, et cetera? We use that model to do our site selection and served us well. Yes.
So this model of mini storage, you've discovered it exists in the US after you actually had started doing it. Is the model similar? I mean, is there any like localized?
The model is similar to the West. In what we've adopted here is Western style security, basic outlook of it, and that it's quite often metal, in some cases wood, but most often metal doors. It looks the same, it is the same, it smells the same. The difference is basically in the fact that in Hong Kong, because there are no large sites like there is in the West, you can't take over 50, 100,000 square feet sites, or like 5,000 square meters or 10,000 square meters. They're usually standalone buildings in the West. So the market here has developed differently. Most sites are relatively small. And so that's what basically allowed the market to develop into a highly fragmented market, even such a small place, because there are so many operators here, because there are so many sites available in industrial buildings, per se. The difference here, obviously, that's from the West. The difference here from Japan, again, is Japan is very similar to Hong Kong in that it's a high-density population, very small place, high living standards. The difference there is that because there's not a lot of industrial sites, they've actually used commercial sites. So the cost of self-storage is exorbitantly high, and they're because of their because of their economy, they're able to pay those prices. So it's another model again. It's the same type of self-storage as in the West, again as here, except again it's a highly fragmented market, very high pricing for storage.
So I'm curious how you guys got to meet each other and structure the deal. I don't know which one.
Okay. Met him at a rave.
Great. And then so next steps or.
This business because of the property I had,
my family, and then he had some savings, so he decided to invest in the business. And then, you know, we get along very well. And then, we've been doing this together since. I think one of the benefit of having him here is him in the commercial. He can speak Chinese. And then we put him speaking Chinese in the local media. And it give a lot of surprises or give a lot of noise, as a Westerner speaking Chinese. And we got a very unique number, 817777778. So because we repeat that number every day on TV for 10 years. So the recall rate for that number is close to 70% in Hong Kong. So which is not bad for, for a brand. Close to 70% of the people in Hong Kong knows your telephone number. That's pretty good.
Amazing. And we have some numbers. I know from private talks, you have $5 million on advertising. And then maybe, is that mostly a mass advertising or?
We do a mix of TV, minibus, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, billboards, etc. Everything is spread out pretty evenly.
All right. And so what do you have for a tip? We like to always talk for our listeners listening. They're looking, a lot of ours are Lawai or foreigners or English speaking, and a lot are curious to come to Asia. They see it in the TV and the news. What's some
maybe ask Matthew.
Matthew probably is better.
They're coming over here and they want
to some Westerners coming over here to live here to do their own start their own business. What advice you give them?
I'm a hard one
because I live a more Chinese lifestyle as opposed to expat lifestyle. So I can't really talk for a lot of what the expat community gets involved in because often a lot of people.
Maybe somebody fresh
coming here. I think the key to Asia is to understand. Is to understand the general population, what they want. After you live here for many years, it doesn't matter whether it's here or China or other parts of Southeast Asia, you realize that each economy is different. Each set of people is unique. You may not think it. You may think all of Asia is, it looks to most Westerners, it looks fast developing, very rich. There's a whole lot of nouveau riche around. There's a lot of money to be made there. Just open up and you'll make it. But that's not exactly true. And a lot of people have tried different businesses, including self-storage, and some people fail here. They've failed in parts of China. It still hasn't really taken off in China as yet. It's more not the concept doesn't work yet. It's more basically a facet of the population and the stage of economic development and growth that they are in. But it is working in some other places, such as Thailand and Malaysia. Already, it is highly developed in Singapore. The difference, of course, in Singapore, again, and the reason why I'm going back to self-storage is because we know the industry. It's a good barometer if you want to look at the difference between different Asian countries, is that there, for example, there's more space for people. People, even though they've got more space in their homes, they've also got more space to build more Western-style self-storage. So it's developed differently there. So I would say for most people coming over here is the key is to look at the market that you're looking at. And look at the general population and the differences and understand that. And the only way you can do that, by and large, is by either talking extensively to people who live in those markets or live there for quite a while. Otherwise, if you just get off the ship, unless you're something relatively new and that hasn't been developed at all and there's not a lot of that left, you're going to have a hard time. Okay, Asia isn't just simply just get off a boat and start something, and basically anything and everything that's been developed in the West has already been copied in some form or another in Asia, if not, and probably more competition than there is in the West.
Thanks for those tips. So I think that about wraps it up. Kevin, I know we met on Twitter. How do you prefer people, if they're interested, to reach out to you or your business?
Contact me at Kevin Shi.
Kevin Shi. Okay, we'll put that in the show notes. And of course, check out scstorage.com.hk. Or at SC Storage. He's definitely wired on social media. And thanks for tuning in. All right. Thanks for those valuable insights, Kevin. And he's a great friend of mine and an awesome businessman. He also gives me a lot of personal advice for my own business. And I'm fortunate enough to meet him from Twitter. I had an informal meetup in Hong Kong a few years ago in Central District, and he came by and also brought some other Hong Kong business friends. So, it was just another example of the power of Twitter. So now some listener feedback. Shu in Hong Kong, he gave me some feedback. He's been a loyal listener of a few episodes and really like his feedback. And he gave me some critical feedback on episode 14 about the sound quality. That was a phone interview with John Buford. And unfortunately, I'm trying my best to find the best way to interview great people with different schedules. Most all other interviews have been in person. I think I'm going to stick to in person just for the quality of the show. But then I told Chu I'd give him some feedback and a shout out on the show, so he said that'd be pretty cool. And he's also in the process of starting his own project, www.getfit.hk, and he says my podcast is very handy. So yeah, that's great. Best of luck on your new venture, buddy, and thanks for listening, and all feedback is appreciated. Okay guys, and catch you next week. That's a wrap.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.